All right, young folks can make their way out to junior church at this time, and I've had a pretty good week this week in terms of my health, which has been awesome. So, icky chair, stay over there this morning. I'm leaving it there because I feel pretty good. So, but if it's close enough, I guess I can pull it over. And my wife's in the back, so she can't do anything about it. So, I'm free. Yeah. Oh, I'm in trouble. It's Christmas. Yeah, not for you. That's about it. Tell you what, hon, I'll compromise. I'll take my jacket off, all right? How's that? Because somebody turned the heat on in here, and DT came early and turned the heat on. Yeah, right. Okay. No, he did not. 1 Timothy this morning in your Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I'm going to preach a message to you this morning. Just felt impressed to go a little different direction. It's one of these kind of things that I hope be recorded on Facebook. Doing good back there, Facebook folks. Good to have all of you who are Facebook Live. And this is one of those messages that, whether you understand it or not, is theologically very significant, but I hope to make it very simple. Because aren't you glad that our faith is really simple in many respects? Now, it's deep, and there's all kinds of things to study, but when it comes to knowing you're on your way to heaven, Jesus said that it was so simple that a child could understand it. Matter of fact, he went so far as to say, unless you become as a little child, you'll not enter into the kingdom of God. And so it is a simple thing, and in the Christmas season, it's the time of the year where we get together, we have family and meals and exchange gifts, and of course, we look around our country, and it has been largely secularized, hasn't it? You know, they do a lot to try to take Jesus out of the season and incorporate other holidays instead, and the real meaning gets attacked, it gets mocked, it gets rejected, it gets neglected, but we're here this morning to meet together to be reminded of the real meaning of Christmas. The rejection of this meaning as a country is, we're paying a high price for it, aren't we? You know, sometimes when I go on my different news apps and you see some of the news headlines, sometimes I read a news headline and I really have to ask myself, is this real? When you read headlines of a parent literally murdering their child, or the rapists and the murderers that go on, and the thefts and the wickedness, and how is our country doing? It's kind of a mess, isn't it? And we can make all kinds, and you'll listen on the news and all the different reasons, but I can tell you the reason our country's a mess is because we've gone away from the authority of the Word of God and a moral accountability to a holy God. That's it. You see, life has a lot of questions, and there's a lot of hurts and disappointments, and you go around and people are looking for who has the answer. I heard a story some years ago from one of my favorite Bible teachers, Dr. Ravi Zacharias, and he told a story about a time many, many years ago when there was a Baptist missionary who was a missionary to India, and he was flying from the States back to India, and he happened to sit next to Albert Einstein. So you got this Baptist missionary to India and Einstein sitting next to each other, and to pass the time, Einstein proposed that they play a game together and said, I'll tell you what, I'll ask you a question, and if you can't answer it, you pay me $50. He said, then you ask me a question, and if I can't answer it, I'll pay you $500. Now, the Baptist missionary knew that he was no match for Einstein's intellect, but he figured, you know, I do have some philosophical and cultural knowledge that I might be able to stump him, and, you know, with a ratio of 10 to 1, you know, okay, he was like any good Baptist. He said, I like those odds. So Einstein went first, and he asked the missionary, you know, he said, how far is the earth from the moon? And the missionary goes, I don't know the exact number. So he put his hand in his pocket and counted out $50 and handed it over to Einstein. Well, now it was the missionary's turn, and he looked at Einstein, and he said, what goes up the mountain with three legs and comes down with four legs? Einstein thought, and he thought, and he squirmed in his chair, and he pondered, and he thought, and he finally shook his head, and he put his hand in his pocket, and he counted out five crisp $100 bills to the Baptist missionary. He goes, okay, now it's my turn again, but before I ask you my next question, he goes, I got to know, what does go up the mountain with three legs and comes down with four legs? The Baptist missionary kind of shook his head, paused, and got his hand in his pocket and handed Einstein $50. you got to love it. You can tell he was a missionary and a Baptist on top of that. You can tell. Missionary, we often ask questions that are only designed to trip up the other person while having no real answers ourselves. And that is what I find today in America, where Christianity is under attack by naturalism, atheism, all kinds of different isms. And they make these attacks and they come across like they have the answers, but if you press them at all, guess what? They don't have any answers. And so this morning, we are going to celebrate the reason for Christmas, because the answer is Jesus Christ. And I've entitled this morning's message, A Free Gift. Don't you like free gifts? Oh, they're wonderful. Yeah. And if the kids say no, you parents just saved a lot of money. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Let's read some scripture together, all right? Let's begin in verse number 12 of 1 Timothy, this letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. And he says in verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Here's my text this morning. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, let's pray and let's look at this truth this morning. Lord Jesus, it's been good to be here this morning, to hear the wonderful singing, to shake hands with each other and just share love with one another. Lord, I pray as we take a few moments and look into your word, may we be reminded of the free gift and really what it is and the value of that gift today. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 15 says, this is a faithful saying. It seems like many theologians believe that this verse was a creed of the early church before we had the first copies of our New Testament, that the church, early church, had certain sayings, and one of them was this, that the Lord Jesus, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. It's a faithful saying, and of course it was not just the early church, but God had it inspired in the Word of God, forever settled in heaven, and part of the unmistakable, infallible Word of God. He also goes on and says it's a faithful saying, and also it's worthy of all acceptation. Now you can look at that and say it's worthy in the sense of all, that it's fully complete, and that may be true. I think the sense here is that it is an acceptation. It is a saying that is worthy for everyone to hear. It's something that is worthy for you and I to share with every person that we meet. It is a faithful saying, and it is a worthy saying, of worthy of all acceptations. Everyone needs to hear the real Christmas story. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 10, y'all probably know this verse of scripture, verse 14, how then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him and whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? If someone doesn't tell them, and he's not talking just about me and a preacher, but they're talking about us as believers and someone who will tell who Jesus Christ really is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and then he offers the free gift. You see, it's a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation, and this is the saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Even Jesus himself in Luke chapter 19 said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's an amazing thing, that God would come to save us. And at Christmas time, we remember the beginning of that earthly ministry. The Bible tells us in the book of Philippians in chapter number 2, speaking of Jesus, who, the Lord Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What that verse is saying is Jesus didn't think that his divinity was something he would selfishly hold on, that he would keep it all to himself and rob others. Instead, he made himself, verse 7, of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Christmas story is really summed up in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1, verse 14. And the Word, the Lord Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Christmas story is really all about God from eternity past, the triune God, who in the book of Genesis said, "Let us make man in our image," that in the community of the Trinity, that was the expression of love. In other words, how could God be love throughout all eternity if he never had anybody to love? Think about that. That's why the essential truth of the Trinity is there, that God's had someone to talk to through all eternity, and God's had the ability to share love inside the community of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God said, "Let us make man in our image," and obviously in that image gives us free will, and we have the capability to express love. And so God stepped out of eternity and he stepped into time. He stepped out of the spirit existence and instead clothed himself with flesh and blood and became a man. Now, why did he do that? Well, Romans chapter 5 tells us very clearly why he did that. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." It points out that one of the things that all of us human beings have in common is we all die. And why is that? Why do we experience death? Well, because we chose sin and rebellion against God. And there's a lot of folks that understand how our bodies are made, and really, even cellular level, we should be able to last a lot longer, and one day, praise God, we will. Amen? And Romans 5:12 is reminding us that God created Adam and Eve, and Adam chose sin and fell into sin, and he passed that sin nature onto all of us, and that is demonstrated by the fact that we all have it, and we know we all have it, because we all die, because we're all sinners. Now, it's interesting that Paul goes on there in Romans chapter 5, and he expounds on this idea about death reigning from Adam to Moses. Matter of fact, let's read it together. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression." In other words, we're all sinners different ways. "Who is the figure of him who was to come, not as the offense, so also," now notice this, "is" what? "The free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift," there it is again, "by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift." There it is again. "For the judgment was by one unto condemnation, but the free gift," there it is again, "is of many offenses unto justification. For if one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they that receive the abundance of grace and the gift," there it is again, "of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, came unto all men unto the justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Now, do you understand what he's saying there? I know you read that and some of you go, "I have no idea what's he talking about." Here's the short gist of it. He's pointing out the fact that when Adam came and he fell into sin, Adam's choice was consequential to all of us. Because we all come from Adam and Eve. We all come from one lineage. In the Christian worldview, there should be no racism, because we all come from Adam and Eve. We are all brothers and sisters under God's creation. Amen? And we all are sinners. And he said Adam's one choice brought all of us unto condemnation, because we're all sinners. And he said, but by contrast, by one individual, the second Adam, the perfect Adam, Jesus Christ, he came and lived perfectly like Adam should have done. And yet, as the perfect man, he chose to be the acceptable sacrifice and offer to you and I the free gift of eternal life. So Paul is talking, Adam brought us all into condemnation by what Christ did, gives us by the grace of God the opportunity to pass from death unto life if we'll simply receive that gift. Jesus came to be the man, to be born of a virgin, to be born in a lonely manger. He lived a life where he knew hurt, he knew brokenness, he knew betrayal, but he lived perfectly to be that spotless lamb to take your place and my place of judgment on the cross to satisfy the wrath of a holy God. Don't you like free gifts? Do you like things free? You ever heard it said, though, there's no free lunch? You know, really, in all of humanity, there really is only one thing free, and that is the free gift of eternal life. And even that, obviously, we understand that the Lord Jesus paid the price. But I like things that are, even in our worldly human existence, I like things that when someone tells me it's free, that it's legitimately free. Ever gone to a timeshare condo presentation? I see by some of the expressions some of you have. Take out your wallets now. We'll take an offering. You know, if you can give it to a timeshare, you can give it to this wonderful building that you're welcome to come to freely anytime. Don't need to make an appointment. You can just be here. I thought about sometimes that the free gift is kind of like a trap. When they say free, you know, like going to a mattress sale. Everyone, some of those, they're famous for that as well. How about this one? You ever got a free check in the mail? Here's one from U.S. Airlines for $1,375, you know, paid to the order of, and there's somebody's name, blah, blah, blah. And then down in the memo, the small letters, it says, must be redeemed for travel certificate and has no cash value. Those are the kind of checks I get. I don't know about you, right? And then you try to redeem your air miles, and they say, oh, that's blocked out. Oh, there's no seats for that. Oh, you want to sit in the luggage compartment? Okay. It's not free. Did you hear the other day, I was watching, reading the news just yesterday, and there was these two women that were, they're brilliant thieves. They decided they were going to rob a Target store in broad daylight. Did y'all read about that? They went into this Target, it was in Michigan. All right, Brock, where you got your degree from? Smart people up there in Michigan. They went to Target and they loaded up their shopping cart with like $2,000 worth of electronics. You know, I'm sure they got a PS4 and big screen TVs. I don't know everything else. And they said, in all the commotion, we're just going to walk out the front door. Now they chose this date on purpose. Now this is what's astounding when I read the story. They chose the day they were going to do this on purpose because that was a special day at the Target store. And you know what the special day was at the Target store? It was called Shop with a Cop. Police officers meeting needs for disadvantaged children, and the store was full of police officers. And these geniuses thought that since there were so many police there, that they would get away with getting something for free. Well, they got something for free, all right. They got some free time and some accommodations provided for by the state of Michigan. That's what they got free. You see, not everything in life that says it's free is really free. The Bible's really clear in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is simple faith. It's John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad that the salvation is available to all, as Paul said, as I read in our text, a passage this morning, Paul recounts how he at one time was a blasphemer, was a persecutor, was injurious. We know he stood by when Stephen, the very first martyr, really under Paul's instruction, Paul had this man murdered simply for his faith in Jesus Christ. We know that Paul was a self-sufficient, prideful, arrogant man. See, sometimes we get around life and we think, well, look at those wicked, immoral people down there. You know what? There's a lot of self-righteous, religious people that are going to split hell wide open because they're full of their religious pride. You see, God says that this gift is available to all by God's grace for all who will simply believe him for it. You know, at Christmas time, we give away gifts. And I hope at your house, maybe you, I'd assume you have a Christmas tree and gifts under it, and each gift hopefully has a name on it, right? Now, maybe some of you who have really snoopy children, any of your parents don't put the names on it because you have snoopy children. You don't want them to know which one is theirs. Just my wife, huh? Okay. Just you, Jen. Okay, Tommy, you do that too? Okay, because then, and then what happens on Christmas morning, you know, handing out the Christmas gifts, and Jenny's going, oh, I can't remember who this is. Okay, we'll take it. But when you hand out those gifts, you sit around in the circle, and somebody comes and presents that gift to you, you have the option at that moment to receive that gift or to reject that gift, right? Now, I don't know about you. I've never had in all my years with my children, not one time have they said, hey, I don't want that. That hasn't happened. Not yet. You see, it must be received. It must be a personal choice. I can go get that gift. I can wrap the gift. I can pay for the gift. And I can even put a name on it. But unless it's received, it does no practical good. And as an illustration, I want you to understand that for every human being out there, if you're listening by way of online, doesn't matter how bad you think you are, doesn't matter how self-righteous you are, God has a gift with your name on it, and it's waiting underneath the tree. God just simply wants you to receive it as he is offering it to you today. But you must personally receive it, not just understand it's there, not just know about it, but you must receive it by faith. See, Paul says he was a pattern in verse number 16. He was a pattern with all long suffering to show the plan of salvation, that Christ came into the world to save sinners. And notice what he says, of whom I am chief. He doesn't say of who I was chief. He says, of whom I am chief. That Paul never lost sight of the fact that he was saved by grace. Heaven help us that once we've received that gift of eternal salvation through faith in Christ, that we get so full of ourselves. I don't know about you, but I'm reminded on a daily basis that though I have been saved and my spirit is sanctified and I'm declared righteous and innocent, I still live in this old flesh. And in my flesh, Paul wrote, there dwelleth no good thing. That in this flesh, I still, even as a Christian, can have bitterness. I can make bad choices. I can have all kinds of sin in here. And at times, I'm not a very good representation, but it ought to remind me, instead of being arrogant and thinking, well, those people, they don't deserve to hear about God. Well, aren't you glad that someone thought you were worthy? And God says that all are worthy and none of us are a perfect reflection of Jesus Christ. But Jesus hands out, and God hands out this gift, he offers them. I thought about even again at Christmas time, you know, usually in most houses, you have all these presents around the tree. Do you guys have it where you have one person who's the official gift giver? You know, that they go underneath the tree. Otherwise, you have 50 children piling underneath the tree. So everybody, you sit there, and you sit there, and you sit there. And then, you know, whoever it is. Some of you are like that. Okay, it's not just Jenny again. I'm picking on my poor wife this morning. Okay, that's the rules we have to play at our house, okay? And can you imagine, like, somebody handing out a gift? I think I have a picture of a little child, you know, isn't she cute? And again, saying, no, I don't want it. It's amazing to me those who would turn down such a tremendous gift that God is offering. And it's really, people say, well, how do I receive that? Well, it's really simple. Matter of fact, Paul in verse 16 reminds us of that. He said, it's a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You see, the free gift is Jesus Christ. But understand that Jesus is life eternal. He's not death eternal. He's life eternal. You see, the sobering thing that I must present to you from the clear teaching of the Word of God is that every human being is an eternal being. Don't believe the lie that some will tell you that when you die, you just cease to exist. The Bible declares that all of us are body, soul, and spirit, and we all will live eternally. But the Bible boldly declares that you are either going to live eternally in a status of death, i.e. separation from God, or you will live in life eternal, in life with the presence of God. You see, when it comes to sin, many times in our churches today and online, you have guys that and preachers that they don't want to talk about sin, or they want to devalue it. But I want to remind you this morning that God is a holy God. And the Bible says that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That you will stand before God, and I don't care how good you think you are, if you stand before God in your self-righteousness, in your religion, the Bible declares that all our righteousness is a filthy rags. And if you stand before God without the holy righteousness of Jesus Christ, you stand in your own righteousness, you are going to stand before a holy God and experience his wrath. And God so loved us that he desires that no one step out into eternity with their spirit separated from God. You see, the free gift is Jesus Christ, and a synonymous with that is to say the free gift is eternal life. That's why, you know, years ago, a friend of mine prodded me on something, and I've never forgot it. You know, we say to people, you know, believe in Jesus, which is, okay, that's good, but believe him for what? If I say, I believe in Jim, okay, I believe in Jim for what? I just have a random believe in Jim? I believe he exists? You know, I believe in Russ? Okay, no, I don't believe in Russ, okay. Russ is retiring this week, right? Aren't you about done? So pray for Margaret. It's a gift, okay? But people say, believe in Jesus. And I'm like, believe him for what? And Jesus himself was very clear on what we believe him for. For example, in John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He said, how do you do it? By believing me for everlasting life. John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath what? Everlasting life. John chapter 11. Remember when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead? He goes to Martha and Mary and he says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He's asking her, not all these other things about him. He's asking, do you believe that I am the source of eternal life? Do you believe, Mary, that I can give you eternal life? Do you, quote unquote, believe in me? A lot of Christians, I think, have this aimless idea of what they believe in Jesus for. I want to tell them, what am I believing Jesus for? That Jesus said, I came and died on a cross, lived a life you couldn't live, and 3 days later I rose again to prove that God accepted the sacrifice and that I conquered death, and I'm offering you eternal life if you believe in me for it. Do you believe me that I can give you eternal life? Do you believe that I am the source of eternal life? Do you believe that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to heaven except through me? Do you believe that? You see, a lot of people today that struggle on this stuff saying, well, I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. The whole point of what Jesus said he's offering to you is eternal life. If you don't believe that, you're missing the crux of everything he's offering. And it is accepted simply by faith, just as much as if Michael Bryant says, hey, after church today, I'm going to give you a check for $1,000. I believe Michael Bryant. I believe. Now, I place my belief in Michael Bryant, and I don't like my odds. But when Jesus Christ says, you believe me for eternal life, the moment you believe that, the Bible says you are a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. I just, as we get into Christmas season, I just wanted this morning, as I prayed about it this week, is I want all of us as believers, and if you're not, if there's never been a time that you personally received that gift, I don't care how many times you've been to communion, I don't care how many times you've been baptized, that's irrelevant in God's economy. It's by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. Has there been a time? But for us as believers, I want this Christmas season, I challenge you to, yeah, enjoy material gifts. Yeah, that's a wonderful thing. Enjoy your family. But be reminded, because of that baby in a manger, because God came and became one of us and took our place, if you've trusted in him, he gave you eternal life, present tense. And I think we vastly undervalue that gift. We seldom live in light of the reality that I am never going to die. Now, I might physically die, but you can be real sure my spirit and my soul are going to be in heaven in one day, according to the Bible. Yet in my flesh, as Job said, I will see God in this body. I'm good. This life, as the Bible said, is but a vapor that appears for a moment, then vanishes away. And God has given all of us the opportunity to make free will choice. How you want to live your life, what you want to choose to believe, you have that freedom. But you will die. And are you ready to close those eyes and step out in eternity? Or are you so proud and arrogant or angry at God that you refuse to respond to the one that loves you more than anyone could possibly love you, as God offers you the free gift of forgiveness that results in eternal life forever and ever and ever. Think about that. Pretty good gift, isn't it? Yet I really believe most believers would trade in that gift for some material thing. You say, no, I wouldn't. Well, then why do we live that way? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Christians, do you ever think about that gift? And for folks who've never had a time, you might be a Christian in name only. In other words, you can be a good person. I'm glad you're a good person. But that won't cut it with God. If you being a good person was good enough, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. We could have just said, be a good person and you'll end up into heaven. The problem is, when you look inside each of our hearts, none of us are really good people, are we? We're all liars. We're all thieves. We're all immoral. And yet God loved us enough to send us one who would be perfect, who is good, and who offers you eternal life through simple faith. You know, Christmas season is a time of celebration and joy, as it ought to be. But let's be honest that it also can be a time of tremendous hurt. It can be a time of tremendous feeling of loss, as many times we are separated from those that we love who've passed on before us. And it is, I don't want to say interesting, that's probably the wrong word, I don't know what the right word is, but as I was thinking about this, and Jen and I were talking, that even as a church family, December is a tough time for our church. Even the very first time that Jenny and I came here and candidated, 12 years ago, I came and preached one Sunday morning, and Karen Bell came up and asked me some really mean questions. Actually, Karen's famous question was, can I talk to you? That was funny. I was like, no. But Karen didn't know that the next day or two that her granddaughter would be killed in a car accident right in front of Bama Lanes. And every Christmas I think about misty walls. A couple years ago on Christmas Day, one of our men used to sit right here in the second row, Gene Hardegree, what a long story, I won't share it with you, but one of our ushers and good guy, and he died. Matter of fact, Brother Rick and I went and visited him on Christmas Eve day, went up to Baptist South, and he knew he was going to die, and I'll never forget, he told me at his funeral, he said, you preach Jesus at my funeral, that's what you do. I said, got it done. He died on Christmas Day. 3 days later, we did his funeral on Jenny and I's anniversary. That's what we spent our anniversary that day, doing a funeral.
Of course, we all know that a few years ago now, Brother Braxton was nearing the end of his fight with cancer, and so I wore my pink shirt today, you know, because I knew Braxton would like it. Then last year, you know, on the 20th, just a few days before Christmas, you know, we lost Brother Rick. It's hard. And every Christmas season here at our church, it's hard. And as Paul wrote in the book of Thessalonians, that we as believers ought to sorrow. But we don't sorrow as others that have no hope. And our hope is that I knew, from best I can tell, that Misty's testimony was she knew the Lord as her personal Savior. And I know Brother Hardigree did, and Braxton did, and I know Brother Rick did. And on the authority of the Word of God, they're not dead this morning. They're more alive in some ways than any of us. And I know they would want us to celebrate, but yet we still sorrow. I was reminded that even 11 years ago, this Christmas season where we all have hurts, and I don't know what's in your life. Probably every single one of us in here this morning have some things in our life that are very, very, very painful. Maybe some things you've never shared with anybody, don't need to share with anybody. But it's real easy to get angry with God, to blame God. And I'm not standing here going to pretend to be able to answer every question of why things happen the way they do. I don't know the answer to that question, other than to say that mankind is abundantly evil. But God is love. And ultimately, the judge of the earth will do right. And he offers us eternal life, and there's a better day coming. So don't live this life wasting it by neglecting the truth of that gift. Well, 11, 12 years ago, I guess it was 11, we had someone that was going through their own private pain. And at that time, they were not even part of our odd family. And matter of fact, I think I have a picture here of a little person. This is little Benjamin, little baby Benjamin. And these people shared this on Facebook, so Marie, don't get too mad at me. But many of you know one of our odd family, know Jason and Marie. And 11 years ago, God hadn't brought them to us yet. But during that time, this is their first child. I believe he lived a few days, and he went on to heaven. And of all the hurts there are in life, is there a greater hurt than losing a child? I don't think so. And if you know Jason and Marie, and I know they would tell you it's God's grace, but does not Marie have a smile that lights up a room? All odd Baptist people said. I was going through Facebook and the other day, and she put a post on there, and I wanted to share it with you today in closing. She said this, and she entitled it "A Word of Encouragement for Someone Today." She said, quote, "For Jason Elwell and I, our hardest season was 11 Christmases ago when we were fresh in the grieving process of our firstborn son's death. It still colors the way I worship through this holiday when we celebrate God sending his only son, the priceless gift that he would take unto himself the sin of the world and die so that we might have peace with and personally know God the Father through him. Yes, we still celebrate during Christmas, though sometimes it's more sober. Yes, we still worship, now more keenly realizing the impact and sacrifice in the midst of this joyous event." All I can say is drop the mic. Amen. Have you received the free gift? And dear Christian, do you appreciate the gift God has given you? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the the truth of your free gift this morning that comes with no strings attached by simple faith. Lord, in a day in which your gospel is being perverted in so many ways and you're required to do this and required to do that, your word says simply no, that you are offering freely forgiveness and eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray if there's one here today in our building or if there's one listening online that has not made the personal decision to receive that gift. There's never been a time where they said, yes, God, I understand that I am a sinner, that I am separated from you, but I want to receive that gift of forgiveness. I want to receive that gift of eternal life that you're offering me. I want to believe what Jesus promised. I'm going to choose to believe in him today. Would you make that choice? My dear friend, it's the greatest gift you'll ever receive. How about it, dear Christian? Are you living your life in light of the joy of the truth of eternal life, that this life is but a vapor, that the day will come that we'll go on to glory and live forever? Lord, I pray that Christians have been encouraged, and I pray there's been conviction on those who don't know if they're on their way to heaven today. Lord, I pray at this quietness of this moment that those folks that are not sure, if they want to make that decision, that they'd make it right where they sit. They don't need to come here. They don't need to do anything but simply believe. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around this morning, if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Ken, I made that decision today. I've never received that gift, but today, as simply as I know how, I just want to believe what Jesus is offering. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to come down to you. I'm not going to say anything other than I want to pray for you. Anybody like that this morning in our congregation? If you're watching online, we'd love it if you'd send us a note that we could help you grow in your faith. Holy Spirit, seal decisions in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you?